don't feel like you have to fit in any certain time frame or anything.
Oh, you don't want to give me that. You don't see the amount of verses I have here.
I mean, as long as you're done, you know, by 2:30. Yeah. But I mean, you don't have to go. Don't have to go any longer than what you have. Nah. You've got a lot of verses. I don't think that would be a problem.
I do bring a lot of verses, just for the simple fact that if I decide to get in the way, at least the Word of God's being read out.
Right. Amen.
So today I'm gonna speak on a subject that a lot of people speak on, but I have never heard in myself until God has showed me, and that's obedience. I've heard a lot of people talking about they don't trust God and all that stuff. They're saying, I don't know how I can trust God. I don't know what I can do to trust God.
Right.
The Bible never tells you that. It tells you to be obedient. And in that obedience, that's what works trust.
Amen.
When you're obedient to those things God tells you to do, that works trust in Him. Amen. And I'm just going to go through a few different things I have here on obedience and those things God gives to obedient children. What He does for obedient children, what He does to those who are disobedient, and some of the reasons people disobey God. But one of the stories that came to my mind for someone who started to trust God more and more with obedience is Gideon. I'm not going to read through the whole story of Gideon because that would take the whole half hour that I have to speak. But it just talks, when God first ever speaks to Gideon, Gideon tells God, God, is it really me you want? I'm the least of my family. And God tells Gideon, yes, go tear down those altars your fathers and those people of the city had set up. And it says, and this is in Judges 6, if you want to read it yourself at some point. But it says, Gideon went out at night to tear down those altars because he feared the men of the city. But then if you read through that whole chapter and then the next chapter, I believe it goes all the way to chapter 8. God keeps commanding Gideon to do these things. And then in the end, Gideon takes 300 men to fight an army. Whereas before, he feared the men of the city. But that's because God was showing Gideon that he can trust him by Gideon being obedient to God. Because those men came out the next day and said, give us Gideon so we can kill him. And God protected Gideon in that.
Right.
But we're just going to go to Exodus 19. I'm just going to talk at first just about those things that God gives when you're obedient to Him. And it's not those tangible things of this world that I'm referring to here. It's what you'd spoken of, Mr. Kuntz, there, where God will give you those spiritual things, those spiritual needs.
Amen.
Or need. Let me find Exodus. This is where it's going to take the most time, is me trying to find books I have written down. You're all going to be there way before me. What do you do? 19, I'm going to do 1 through 6. I just like to read around the verses that are the ones that I want to look at just so we get some context. So, Exodus 19, 1 through 6. In the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai, for they were departed from Rephidim and were come to the desert of Sinai and had pitched in the wilderness and there Israel camped before the mount, and Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. It's just one of those small things God gives you. It says you will be a peculiar treasure to God. And everyone would see that if you obey God. But as we know, Israel at times would obey God. But then they'd go into the ways of this world and everything. And all of a sudden, they were just a plague to God. And many different times, God would punish them because they would not follow Him. And at those times, they were not a peculiar treasure to God because they would not obey His voice. Now we're going to go to Deuteronomy 4. You're going to notice my notes are all in chronological order because that's just how I write them down. Deuteronomy Deuteronomy 4, and we're going to go 26 through 31. Let me find it here. I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day that ye shall soon utterly perish from off the land whereunto ye go over Jordan to possess it. Ye shall not prolong your days upon it, but shall utterly be destroyed. And the Lord shall scatter you among the nations, and ye shall be left few in number among the heathen, whither the Lord shall lead you. And there ye shall serve gods and the work of men's hands, wood and stone, which neither see nor hear nor eat nor smell. But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him if thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. When thou art in tribulation, and all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days, if thou turn to the Lord thy God, and shalt be obedient unto his voice, for the Lord thy God is merciful, is a merciful God. He will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers, which he swore unto them. And right there, it's even talks, and that's what I just said about when Israel turned away from God those many times. He even says, if you will turn back and obey me in those moments, he's a merciful God and will show mercy on you in those things. He'll bring you back under his covenant that he swore to their fathers, which that covenant is also given to us through Jesus Christ when he died for us. Now we're going to go to Job 36. Oh, okay, look at that. I almost turned exactly there. What do you do? 9 through 11. Then he showeth them their work and their transgression that they have exceeded. He openeth also their ear to discipline and commandeth that they return from iniquity. If they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasure. But if they obey not, they shall perish by the sword and they shall die without knowledge. Right there. And this is what I was referring to earlier. It's not talking about prosperity and riches gained or the pleasures of this world when you obey God in these things. When God gives you commands in your life, tells you to do things. It's not talking about prosperity that he'll bring money upon you. He's not going to bring worldly pleasures. But there is a peace and a pleasure that comes from obeying God in these things.
Amen.
There's a joy in your life. God talks about that. If you're feeling a lack of joy in your life, and the Bible talks about that joy of salvation, if you start and return to obeying God, God will restore that joy to you. He says that. Now we're going to go to Proverbs 25. If this isn't making sense to people, just listen to the verses and hopefully God gives you something that way. 25, 11 through 13. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. As an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold, so is a wise reprover upon an obedient ear. Amen. If you're being obedient, those things that are spoken to you, they won't hurt you. You'll rejoice. Those are gifts to you, gifts from God. But if you're in a service and those things the man up there is saying are cutting you, you might want to look and see, am I disobedient to God right now? Am I obeying those things God has commanded me to do? Did I ignore that person I was supposed to speak to in a gas station? And all those things, you look back on those things, and those are the things that will cut you in a service. Those are the things that cut me. I've had very few services where it hasn't cut me when the man's up there speaking. But those ones where I can listen and I've obeyed God in those things, those are glorious services to be in. Because I know I'm right where God wants me to be at that moment.
Amen.
Now we're going to go to Isaiah 1. Turned way past that. We're going to do 18 and 20. Isaiah 1, 18 through 20. Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And we heard that in Mr. Kuntz, their message. But I'm going one little further, or two. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Talks about that good of the land, and this is more than I said, those tangible things, those actual food. This is the bread of life. Those rivers of living water, those things, I believe this is what that's talking about if you're obedient. That God will give you those things from the Word of God. Because my walk with God, if I'm not obedient to Him, I don't get much from the bread of life when I read through it. But when I'm obeying God, that's when He shows me those things, those glorious things, those things that feed me, those things that make me want to keep going on, those things that give me strength. I didn't know if I was going to talk about this one, but Mr. Kuhn said it in his message. So I'm just going to go there as a little offshoot. James 3. If I can find James. Is everyone there but me? That would make perfect sense. There we go. James 3, 1 through 6. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend. All, if any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold, also the ships, which though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Sorry. That's God telling us to control our mouths. If we go on a little further here, even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire of hell. Mr. Kuntz had mentioned that. But God commands us to control our mouths.
Right.
By doing so, you control your body. It says that, putting the bridle, it controls the whole body. Where your mouth leads, that's where you'll go. Next, I guess we'll move on to what God will help us with and God on our side if we obey. We're going to go to Exodus again, 23. I particularly like this verse. I've only recently seen it, but I like it. Then again, I like most of the verses I read until they cut me. We're going to go Exodus 23, 20 through 22. Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Beware of him and obey his voice. Provoke him not before he will, for he will not pardon your transgression, for my name is in him. But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies and an adversary unto thine adversaries. If in your life it seems like the devil's constantly attacking you and tearing you down, tempting you with things, there's a very good chance that you're not obeying God in something, because God said he will make your enemies his enemies and he'll be their adversary. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to fight the devil by myself, because I did that for a large portion of my life and I lost every single battle. Now we're going to go to 2 Corinthians, just to slam this point home a little further. 2 Corinthians 10. I'm not doing too bad on time. What are you do? 3 through 6. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 6. Well, I'm in 1 Corinthians, so I will get to where I said to be. 3 through 6. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. It's talking about those spiritual things. It's not those carnal things, those fleshly things, those things we constantly try to say, this is how I'm gonna fight the devil. The devil throws something into your life. You're like, okay, a man cuts you off in traffic. I'm not gonna cuss this man out. There's a deeper spiritual level to that than I'm not going to cuss this man out. If those thoughts are coming to you, you might want to obey God, because God can just let you forgive on those things. And you're like, well, that man cut me off. Must be in a hurry. But instead we think, jerk. And usually we add colorful language to it. But we're going to see some of those things God will do. A little further, we're going to go back to Deuteronomy. We have a lot of verses from Deuteronomy. So it's a good book. Maybe we should read it more often. If you notice, a lot of my verses are coming from the Old Testament, but that's because the Old Testament is also the Word of God.
Amen.
So we're going to go Deuteronomy 13, 1 through 5. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods which thou hast not known, and let us serve them, thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. You shall walk after the Lord your God, and fear him, and keep his commandments, and obey his voice, and ye shall serve him, and cleave unto him. And that prophet, or that dreamer of dreams, shall be put to death, because he hath spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt, and redeemed you out of the house of bondage, to thrust thee out of the way which the Lord thy God commanded thee to walk in. So shalt thou put the evil away from the midst of thee. Right there, many men come in and they say they're a prophet of God, preacher, pastor, but they don't obey God. They try to get you to disobey those things of God. And if God says those men will be put to death, I don't mean physical death, but you watch those men's life. Even if the man is a man of God, this could happen to me, could happen to Timmy. It happened to Mr. Koontz there. If we're not obeying God and we're trying to take people out of what God has told them to do, we can be put to death in the sense that God no longer working in our lives, no longer working through us. Everything starts to fall apart for us. And in those moments, we probably wouldn't blame ourselves for it. We'd probably blame God, because we are selfish people. We're going to go to Judges 2. If I can find Judges. There we go. This is something that will happen if we do not obey God. And those sins in our life, we wonder why they're still there. This gives an answer to that. Judges 2, 19 through 23. And it came to pass, when the judge was dead, that they returned and corrupted themselves more than their fathers in following other gods to serve them and to bow down unto them. They ceased not from their own doings, nor from their stubborn way. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. And he said, because that this people hath transgressed my covenant, which I commanded their fathers, and have not hearkened unto my voice, I also will not henceforth drive out any from before them of the nations which Joshua left when he died, that through them I may prove Israel, whether they will keep the way of the Lord to walk therein as their fathers did, keep it or not. Therefore the Lord left those nations without driving them out hastily, neither delivered he them into the hand of Joshua. Those sins in our lives, which, if you're anything like me, you have a great many. A lot of those come from the disobedience that we have towards God. That he will not provide us a victory over them. And that goes back to what I said earlier. Your enemies become his enemies if you obey him.
That's right.
But we don't obey him, so those things are left in those lands. And those things tear us apart.
Right.
They put a thing between us and God. They make us not nigh to God when we follow those things and we disobey God. I guess I'll skip ahead just so I can look. Let me see if I can find it right here. We're going to go to 1 Peter 1 through 13. It's going to be 1 Peter 1, 13 through 15. This is just going within that thought there. I didn't know I was going to jump to this verse this early, but God just brought it to my mind, and I'm going to try to obey him while I'm talking about obedience. So 13 through 15, 1 Peter 1, 13 through 15. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. And it talks about that ignorance. When God shows you something and you disobey, you're no longer ignorant of it. It's a blatant disobedience.
Yes, sir.
The Bible talks about that time God will wink at your ignorance. But once he shows you that thing, it is no longer ignorance. It's you disobeying God.
Right.
Now we're going to go to Deuteronomy 11, 25 is where we'll start. Deuteronomy 11, 25 and 26. There shall no man be able to stand before you, for the Lord your God shall lay the fear of you and the dread of you upon all the land that ye shall tread upon, as he hath said unto you. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if ye obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day. And a curse if ye will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other gods which ye have not known. Those other gods, those things of the world, those things you put above God are those things. I'm going to go to a place that's actually not in my notes. Let's go to Hebrews, I believe. I believe it's Hebrews. No, it is Romans 6. That's what I'm thinking of, which might actually be in my notes at some point. Right here. Romans 6, we'll start at 20. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. And that's one of those curses that comes from disobeying. Those things you are ashamed of. You do those things when you disobey God. You do things and all of a sudden you think about them a week later and you're like, kind of wish I wouldn't have done that.
Right.
It doesn't even have to be a week later. It can be moments later, but you've done that thing. And it's worked a fruit of shame in your life.
Right.
Let's go to Joshua 5, 6. Find it too. Joshua Joshua 5:6. For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness till all the people that were men of war, which came out of Egypt, were consumed, because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord, unto whom the Lord swore that he would not show them the land which the Lord swore unto their fathers, that he would give us a land that floweth with milk and honey. Right here, it shows that disobedience does not only hurt you, it hurts those next generations. Because I don't know about you, but I don't think that every single man who was the age of war or older didn't have any kids. Their children spent 40 years in the wilderness too, because those men wouldn't obey God. They watched the disobedience of their fathers, and that helped the kids, hurt the fathers. Let's go to 1 Kings 13:13. This is a very common story of disobedience. But woe to the man that does this to another man. We go 1 Kings 13:13 through 26. And he said unto his son, saddle me the ass. So they saddled him the ass, and he rode thereon, and went after the man of God, and found him sitting under an oak. And he said unto him, art thou the man of God that camest from Judah? And he said, I am. Then he said unto him, come home with me and eat bread. And he said, I may not return with thee, nor go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water with thee in this place. For it was said to me by the word of the Lord, thou shalt eat no bread nor drink water, nor turn again to go by the way that thou camest. He said unto him, I am a prophet also, as thou art. And an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied unto him. So he went back with him, and did eat bread in his house, and drank water. And it came to pass, as they sat at the table, that the word of the Lord came unto the prophet that brought him back. And he cried unto the man of God that came from Judah, saying, thus saith the Lord, for as much as thou hast disobeyed the mouth of the Lord, and hast not kept the commandment which the Lord thy God commanded thee, but camest back, and hast eaten bread and drunk water in the place for which the Lord did say to thee, eat no bread and drink no water, thy carcass shall not come unto the sepulchres of thy fathers. And it came to pass, as after he had eaten bread and after he had drunk, that he saddled for him the ass, to wit for the prophet whom he had brought back. And when he was gone, a lion met him by the way and slew him, and his carcass was cast into the way. And the ass stood by it, and the lion also stood by the carcass. And behold, men passed by and saw the carcass cast in the way, and the lion standing by the carcass. And they came and told it on the city where the old prophet dwelt. And when the prophet had brought him back from the way, he heard thereof and said, it is the man of God who was disobedient unto the word of the Lord. Therefore the Lord hath delivered him unto the lion, which hath torn him and slain him, according to the word of the Lord which he spake unto him. Right there, a man of God, says he's a prophet, a man of God, had clear instructions from God not to do this thing. But if another man entered that man's life and said, no, come back. And that man, instead of seeking God to see if that was truly of God, listened to that man. And in doing so, he disobeyed God in that thing. And God slew that man.
Yep.
And woe be to the man that lies to another man to make him disobey God. Now we're going to go to Jeremiah 18. We go 6 through 10. Jeremiah 18, 6 through 10. Which I believe this was also quoted today in your Mr. Koontz there. O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel. At what instant I shall speak concerning a nation, concerning a kingdom, to pluck up and to pull down and to destroy it. If that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. And at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to build and to plant it. If it do evil in my sight, that it obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them. then I have right here written between Jeremiah 26 is the next spot we're going to go to, and it says flip, which I believe was me telling my side that this is the flip side of this. That's how my notes work. If you ever read them, it's going to be Jeremiah 26, 12 and 13. Then spake Jeremiah unto all the princes and to all the people, saying, the Lord sent me to prophesy against this house and against this city all the words that ye have heard. Therefore now amend your ways and your doings, and obey the voice of the Lord your God, and the Lord will repent him of the evil that he hath pronounced against you. Says it right there. You can either do evil to them or good to them, and all they need to do is obey God, and he will repent of the evil he has pronounced against them. But if we know anything about Israel or anything about the Bible, Israel very seldomly listens to that until God crushes them. We're going to go to Jeremiah 38. I'm skipping a reference here because God hasn't given me complete understanding on that yet. Hopefully someday I can speak on it, but not now. And I would hate to speak foolishly when trying to bring those things of God. So we're going to go to Jeremiah 38, 19. And Zedekiah the king said unto Jeremiah, I am afraid of the Jews that are fallen to the Chaldeans, lest they deliver me into their hand, and they mock me. But Jeremiah said, they shall not deliver thee. Obey, I beseech thee, the voice of the Lord, which I speak unto thee, so it shall be well unto thee, and thy soul shall live. But if thou refuse to go forth, this is the word that the Lord has showed me. Which I'll just stop there, because most of us know the story of Zedekiah, I would believe, and what happened to him. His sons were killed before his eyes. All because he would not obey God, because he feared men. And by fearing men, it caused him to be a disobedient, a child of disobedience, which we'll see in a little later. Those children of disobedience, which is referring to the devil. If you're a child of disobedience, you're a child of the devil. You're obeying those things of the devil. Now let's go to Titus. I believe that's a one. We'll see here. Yes, right here. Titus 1:16. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. It talks about disobedience in there. It's the same people who are reprobate. They don't listen to any of those good works. And as I said before, the disobedience is being a child of disobedience, in fact, is to be a child of the devil at those moments. Now we're going to go, I've written here, why do you disobey? So we're going to go there. I'm going to give you the answer to all your troubles, why you disobey. Romans 2, 8. Romans 2, 8. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath. Watch, this stuck out to me because I was and am a very contentious person. And how does contention come? Only by pride cometh contention. And it puts that, but unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth. You're not obeying those things of God because you're filled with pride.
Right.
You think you can do it your own way, but you're wrong.
Right.
Now we're going to go to Romans 6. Which, this is where I said I thought I had it in my notes, and I do. Who you serve. I like this one because it's usually me. I don't like it, and I like it. Romans 6, we're going to start at verse 16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to, obey his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness, which that righteousness is Jesus Christ. Be obedient to Jesus Christ is what that's saying, or sin unto death, not obeying, serve the devil. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men, because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness, unto holiness. For when ye were servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Not saying, if you serve or you disobey God, you're that child of disobedience, which is the devil. You're serving him. You're obeying him. You're not obeying God, not working those things of life in your eternal life in you through Jesus Christ. Now, we're going to go to Galatians 5. We're getting pretty close to wrapping up here, so don't fret. I got through quite a few verses. I think I can finish them before we hit that time limit. If I can find Galatians, that would be. Galatians 5. 6 through 8. For through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. Timmy spoke on that a little bit earlier today. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Jesus Christ there. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? Now let's go to Ephesians 2. And we're going to do 2 through 4. Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversations in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us. Right up there, I've mentioned a few different times, the children of disobedience. Those are the things that hinder you, cause you to disobey God in the everything, just the devil in your life, the not obeying God. You're allowing the devil to move in your life and hinder you, though, in that walk with God, which actually doesn't even say walk with God. It says those things. Let me find that verse again real quick. Galatians 6. Or 5, 6, and 8. You did run well. Then it asks who hinders you. All because you decided to disobey God, you're no longer running well in those things. Which is better than a walk with God. And finally, we're just going to go here. Timmy should rejoice over this because he spoke a lot on this today. We're going to go to Romans 16:26. 16:26. But now is made manifest by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. The obedience of faith, which Timmy spoke on that thing of faith today, the faith Jesus Christ gives you. If you follow that faith, it gives you obedience. Amen. But you choose not to follow that faith, so there's no obedience. Thank you. Amen.